Hey everybody, it's Brian and
Tobias Smolders with RE/MAX Escarpman.
Woo-woo! At Mission 35 Mortgages on the PIG Podcast, the Platinum Investment Group.
What's our goal?
To make you fucking wealthy. You make tons of money. That's what our goal is.
Financial freedom and literacy for you.
Yeah, that too.
All for free.
Yes, totally. You know what? So thank you guys for tuning in and thank you guys for listening. And Tobias, you're totally right. We're all about getting you financially secure. So what are we talking about today?
I think it's when to refinance.
When to refinance.
You know, your primary home or, you know, to get you into a rental or one of the rentals you already acquired. Yep. And to get you another one.
Totally. Yeah, it's a question we get asked a lot, when to take out money. Easy answer, whenever someone gives you money.
Whenever they will give you money, yes.
Yeah, okay, podcast over. Someone gives you money, say yes.
If they give you money, take it and run.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. But the reality is, you know what, it's tougher to refinance now. There's more, you can do it strategically, mm-hmm. I would say, especially if you're on your primary residence or, you know, getting to your first, second rental, you can actually do it strategically. So let's talk about maybe...
So you do it strategically so you can maximize what you're going to get out of it.
Totally. So we were talking beforehand about like sort of the top three ways that you can do that. So what would you say the number one way is, or number one time is to refinance?
Time?
Yeah.
Like season time?
Sure.
Yeah. Now, time. I think now, like the appraiser can only go back 6 months for your comparables. So you want to get a good bunch of comparables. You can obviously watch the market and say, oh, a bunch of great houses similar to mine sold recently, or have your realtor do that for you.
Yep.
But, you know, August, September, we've gone through the season of the spring market, which is traditionally the best in our area.
Yep.
And sort of the summer's decent. That's going to give you the best comps for that appraiser to do their job properly within guidelines that the bank gives them.
Yeah, I think that's great because, yeah, the higher the property comparables are, that means the higher your house will come in at, right?
Yeah.
And the higher your house comes in at, the more money you can get out of it. Totally. I think it's important to note, too, what is not included in an appraisal sometimes, because we get this a lot. Unfortunately, private sales are not included in appraisal comparables, right? So, you know, if somebody down the street sold his house privately, the appraisal company will not use that as a comparable. If a house is listed for sale, it's not a comparable. Or not closed. Yeah, or not closed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and that's kind of a funny one, right? Because you know, you could have your neighbor may have sold their house for, you know, $700,000, but it hasn't closed yet. It's not a comparable until it sells.
Yes.
Right? Because apparently houses don't close.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Apparently. Not on my watch. Out.
Not on my watch. Yeah. Not on my watch.
But so good to know, right? So that's good time. Yeah. So I think, when you start to look at late summer, early fall, you've seen the big lift. Great time to trigger an appraisal.
Totally.
So you can get it. Yeah.
And I think when you are seeing that growth too, if you've renoed.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
You got the house looking as good as it can.
Yeah.
As good as it's ever going to be. Especially if you have kids or dogs.
Or hoarder tenants.
Or hoarder tenants.
Yes.
Yeah. Or any tenants.
Yep. Well, I think that comes down to that BRRRR strategy, right?
Totally.
You know, buy, renovate, refinance, and rent.
Rent, refinance, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Buy, renovate, rent, refinance, BRRRR. Yeah. Like it's, you know.
I think you should refinance before you rent because you want to be able to showcase the property.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that, right? So really, I think that's a perfect opportunity. When the property looks its best, you will typically get a higher value for it than if it's, you know, so a tenant's gone in there and beat the shit out of it. And then prior to renovating, you don't want to send the appraiser in.
Yeah.
You want to send the appraiser in when it looks amazing. That could be an extra 10, 20, 30 grand.
Totally. And that tenant fills it with all their crap where you could even stage it. We staged it for our refinance.
Do you?
We did at our house. We lived there. We staged it. It looked mint. We did really well. I was happy with that.
You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
You're a smart guy.
It's just like selling. You're selling your property to the bank saying it's this good. Lend me money based on how it is.
And you know what? An extra 10 grand, if you're refinancing 80% loan to value, if it's higher by 10,000 bucks, it may not seem like a lot if it's 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, 800,000, but that's an extra 8 grand in borrowing power, right?
Totally.
So every 10, if you're going 80% loan to value, which a lot of the companies will, every 10 will get you 8. Like that can be a lot of money. That can be you know, your next property. That could be the difference right there. So all those little things help. What was the last one too that we had? There was, so there's seasonality, doing it now, reno.
Yeah.
And then there was,
I think, you know, if you're vacant.
Totally.
You know, that's great. That's a great time.
Yeah.
We'll say vacant or to get a new rate. Those are both good.
Yeah. I think vacant is easier again too. And I think vacant and reno probably go hand in hand as well too.
Yeah.
Right. You ever try to reno with tenants?
They were complaining about the dust going in their eyes. Right? I'm like, stop sleeping then.
I would not recommend it. I would not recommend renovating when you have tenants in the property. Okay. But no, definitely when it's vacant as well too. You said about a new rate. So
yeah, if you want a new rate, I got a good story. Currently we have a property that's got, a variable rate, but it's variable rates up right now. It's at 3.85, and I've had the property for a little bit. We're still a few years out from renewal time, but the rates have come down quite significantly.
This is a weird time just on that. We're in August of 2019, and your fixed rates are significantly cheaper than variable.
It's almost a full percent.
It's like
they just offered me. They're like, you could just do this. And
it's like a full moon. Like it's very weird. It's a very unusual market to have that.
Wait, so can we get it on record? Would you say that your recommendation right now is fixed rate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say right now.
We'll note this because every week or 2 weeks I get an email from Brian that says, my recommendation for rate is the variable rate. It's
let me.
This has been for like 5 years the best option for sure. I think variable rate.
I will say this.
That's why I wanted to ask.
Let me just preface that, please, kind sir. Right? Financially speaking, if you're staying in the home or keeping it for 5 years, 100%. The reason why I will always typically recommend variable, this is a unique situation, is because not 3/4 of people break a fixed term. Whoa. Because of 75% of people break it because of divorce, job loss, job change, refinance. So 3 out of 4 people are breaking that fixed term, and what ends up happening is you have a massive penalty. On a variable, you got a 3-month interest penalty.
Yeah.
On a fixed, you don't.
And when we say massive, what are we talking? So that people know.
It depends, right? So it's called an interest rate differential. Mm-hmm. So it could be, in some cases, the difference in interest in what you would have paid. So you can be talking tens of thousands of dollars. I've seen ones in the $20,000 range, depending on the mortgage amount and the duration that's left on the mortgage. So yes, 5-year fix is awesome.
If you're going to keep it.
Totally.
If you're going to keep it. But I had to pay $15,000 when I broke my 5-year fixed, and it was not crazy early. It was like two and a half years early, but the rates had come down quite significantly, and the new product was going to give me access to the money in the house. And I was like, oh my God, I wish I met Brian before I signed up for this.
Yes. So, and I think that's, you know, what else do you want to do? We talked about earlier. So when you can refinance for rate and also for cash flow, right?
Yes.
By like, because
extend, right?
Yeah.
Your amortization.
Totally.
There we go.
So is that what you're looking at on yours right now? You take it from 25 to 30 years. Cause if you've had the house for 5, 6, 7 years,
mm-hmm.
you want to put it back over 30 years if you can,
yes.
Then interest is still tax deductible, right? So you're writing that off. And then you want to make sure that you're getting more cash flow every single month.
The cash flow quadrant.
Yes.
Robert Kiyosaki, right?
Love Robert. What do you do with your extra cash flow, actually?
With the cash flow, we typically bank it, sock it away.
Yeah.
As long as there's no outstanding bad debt against the properties. Like if we've done a reno and we put something on a credit card, that'll be first hit. Mm-hmm. But then we sock that away to save for the next property, the down payment. I always say the first one was hard. The second one, I think, was the hardest because I couldn't refinance the first house to buy it. Mm-hmm. And the third, fourth, and fifth bought themselves.
Nice. That is actually amazing.
Yeah.
And it comes down to is like refinancing. It does get more difficult the more properties that you have. But definitely under those options, ask. Don't ever take, like one of my favorite sayings is don't take no for an answer until you give someone the opportunity to say yes. Okay. Ask your bank, ask your favorite mortgage broker, see if you can take money out of it. Because, and we said at the beginning, never say no to money.
Yeah.
It's kind of joking about it, but serious, because I've got an investor friend too. He's got Tobias properties, you know, like oodles of properties. And the last one that we were able to do for them, it was with the trust company. Mm-hmm. Rate was 4.99%. It was going to give them extended amortization and give them 200,000 capital, like free capital. Wow. So he's like, yeah, absolutely, I'll take it. Like 200 grand could be another house.
Yeah.
Right?
Even if you're investing that and you make 10%, it's 20 grand a year. That's going to cover whatever you're paying.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And $200,000, what do you got to... How much money do you have to make at your job to get $200,000?
A ton.
$400,000 take home.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
After you pay our friends at the CRA, good guys, making healthcare free.
Good guys. Good guys. Come on. I thought we said we weren't going to lie on the podcast, Tobias. Jeez.
We never know who's watching.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Just kidding, everybody.
But no, that opens up a lot of doors and a lot of things.
And you know what I will say about refinance too, because instead of selling, a refinance is always an awesome option, yeah. Right? You know, the wealthiest clients that I get to see come across my desk are people that haven't sold real estate and just continue to refinance it, right? And they will refinance it to a point where the cash flow makes sense, yes. Right? So you're not taking out, in some cases, as much as you can,
yes.
As you get on in your investment career, but you're taking out enough to ensure that the payments are still made.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So that the rent is covered from the payments.
Yeah. And that you get that money because you want that. You talked about when it's sitting in equity in the property, it's great. You have it, but that's essentially worked capital.
You got it.
It's done. It's not working. It's not making you any money. And when you can pull that out, you revive those soldiers and put them back to work on something else.
Yeah.
And there was a saying I heard recently. It's American saying, but you got to get the dead presidents working for you.
Oh, I love it. Totally. Yeah, I agree. And you know what? You may be in a situation where you've got one rental property, maybe you're only able to take out 40, 50 grand, and it's not enough to buy the next property. Well, guess what? You can still take that money out because rates are cheap right now. You could still take that money out at maybe 3 or 4%. And you could lend it. We won't talk too much about that, but
we've got a podcast about that, right?
Oh, I'm sure we do. I'm sure we do. We scroll through there. It's in there somewhere, right? But it is another way because you could take out money at 3 or 4%. Listen, if the banks can do it, why can't you?
Totally.
You can take money out at 3-4% and then you can lend it out at 8, 9, or 10%. And then basically that worked capital is working for you. And now it's starting to build up more money.
Perfect.
To get the next property again.
Yeah. And then on that too, say you have maybe you can't buy a house with that money, but say you have a loan that's hampering you, car loan, truck loan, something like that. Would you say it makes sense to pay that off instead of having a car loan to put you in a better position to buy something?
I think so. You know what?
Every situation's different.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have options then.
You totally do,
you
right?
You lend it, you minimize bad debt, you do whatever you want. Just don't buy go-karts. That's
go-karts are fun. They're talking about.
They're fun, but that's
we gotta go to Kart World, man. That's crazy. Kart World's amazing.
That's not putting your capital to work.
Yeah, totally. No, but I think definitely if you can better your cash flow, just like you said, you gotta do it because I think part of being financially secure is ensuring that, you know what, you don't have more month left than money.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden money runs out and you're like, shit, I got a week left in the month and I got no money left.
No, no rental payments. Hopefully no one's late. We got mortgage.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully nothing goes wrong, right? So I think refinancing for that type of cash flow, even if it is as simple as making your cash flow better.
Yeah.
Like I've seen clients that bought a property that were borderline cash flow negative.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's gone up a little bit. Mortgage has gone down. They've refinanced over 30 years. Didn't take out a ton of money, but now they made their cash flow situation better on that property.
It's great. Great.
Right? So now it's breathing room. It's comfort there, you know?
Especially a lot of people buy, we'll say a more high-end property that's going to be more expensive to purchase. So it's going to be not in that cash flow position.
Yep.
And a lot of people get weary of that sort of product, but they're buying with appreciation in mind and mortgage pay down. Mm-hmm. So that can sort of ease that pain once you've bought that property. You can say, okay, our goal is to extend this in a couple of years so that we can be, you know, not infusing $500 into our rental account every month to pay for this property. We can make it neutral or
totally
cash flow $100 so that that property is a better position too. That's a great idea.
I think refinance is a great tool. And I think it all becomes around your state of mind around debt. Debt's not bad. Debt's a good thing. The biggest businesses in the world have billions of dollars worth of debt, but it's working capital debt.
Yeah.
Right? So long as you're making money on that debt, it's good. The trip to Vegas, unless it's an educational conference,
yes.
is bad debt, right? Take out tons of good debt. Refinancing, good debt. Awesome, cool. Man. I think we covered refinance. If you have any questions on refinances, let us know. We want to help you. And if you want to just, if you're just itching to buy that next rental property, give this guy a show right here as well too.
There we go. I'll hook you up.
Awesome. Make this a fabulous day, guys. Thanks so much.